The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome, a really warm welcome to everybody. Today I'd like to talk a little bit about something that I haven't spoken about before we turned on the recording. Claire and I were just reflecting. You know, a year and a half. This is a lot of loving kindness that we've been doing. And something that I haven't really talked about that much. I'm not alone in this, that it's Dharma teachers often don't talk about this. And that is mudita, sometimes translated as sympathetic joy. But sympathetic joy does not sound inspiring. I think Daisy Hernandez, she said, made her think of pastel balloons and teddy bears that are sold in hospital gift stores. I kind of like this idea, right? So what is mudita? Mudita maybe is a nicer way rather than trying to use this word sympathetic joy or appreciative joy. This is feeling happy when other people are happy. Like just being happy that other people are have something good happening in their life. Whether they have delight or joy or happiness or whatever it might be. Just this appreciation that they have something good. Sometimes a response might be a little bit of envy. Well, why do they have that? I wish I had something like that too. And this might be born out of, maybe we have this belief that's not so uncommon, that kind of we have this, that word just slipped out of my mind that I was going to use. We have this idea that there's certain things are commodities, or there's a set amount, and either you have some or you don't. So maybe we have this thing, if other people are happy, that somehow that means that there's less happiness for us. But when you hear me say that out loud, you realize, oh, that's ridiculous. Of course, I don't think that. But there might be some little way in which that view is there. Like, wait, if everybody's happy, or if other people have, what about me? What's happening for me? Might not be enough for me. So we might feel like there's not enough. We might feel a little bit of envy. Or maybe when we see that other people are happy or experiencing some joy or having some good fortune, we might feel like, oh, yeah, I knew I should have done that thing. I should have gone to school longer. I should have done a different profession. I should have married this other person. I should have not eaten so many cookies. I should have like all this long list, right? The list is going to be nonstop. And so we might have this inner critic that just really shows up and said, well, they have that because they, you know, did X, Y, and Z, and I didn't do X, Y, and Z. And somehow I'm a bad person because of it. So there's all kinds of reasons why maybe this idea of sympathetic joy, being happy when other people are happy, may not be such a straightforward capacity to develop. However, this allowing ourselves to feel joy or happy or delight when other people have something is such an important way to move through the world. Partly because joy, happiness can be restorative. It can be fueling. It can be nourishing. And so maybe akin to like a good meal is nourishing and necessary, right? That we need to have some lightness as well as maybe, I'm saying as well as seeing clearly how things are. So I'm not saying that we should, need to deny all the suffering, all the injustice in the world, that is still there. And there are people that are having babies. There are new kittens that are being born. There are families that are getting reconciled. There's partners who are having that difficult conversation and finding their way through it. There are all kinds of small little things that sometimes we ignore or dismiss. Maybe through this, we have this loyalty to the suffering, the difficulties in the world. It's important that we not deny that they're there, but so much about Buddhist practice is about seeing clearly. And to see not only the suffering, but to see that there's things other than suffering that are happening also. And it's perfectly natural that we tend to focus on the difficulties, right? We're trying to find solutions, figure them out. And of course, our biology, right? We've evolved from being Sue, didn't get eaten by saber-toothed tigers because they were paying attention to difficulties. So of course, we tend to pay there. But so much about a practice is about seeing clearly, including the joy, the happiness. So can we celebrate what's happening in someone else's life? And to do this, we need to look at it like straight on. So not below with envy, or not from above with judgment, and not with rose-colored glasses that assumes that they only have success, you know, after success after success. Of course, everyone suffers. But can we look straight on, and when we see someone is happy, just be happy that they are happy? Because of course, right? Do we really want people to experience more and more suffering? No, of course we don't. What a world that would be. That would be awful. So, mudita, of allowing ourselves to celebrate when others have celebration, a feeling joy when other people are joyous, feeling happy when other people are happy. And how many billion people are on this planet? Chances are somebody is having something good happen. And so this makes it, this practice makes it, so it's more likely that joy can arise in our own life if we see it arising in other people's lives. We don't have to be responsible for all the occasions of joy that arise. We can see other people, like they're having joy. Okay, I'm happy. I'm happy that you're happy. So maybe one last thing that I'll say, that mudita practice, mudita, is love and kindness. This well-wishing, this warmth, this goodwill that's getting radiated out. And then as it radiates out, it meets people who are suffering. That loving kindness gets turned into compassion. It meets people who have happiness, and the loving kindness gets turned into mudita. So it's this warm wishing, this goodwill, this care. When it meets other people that are happy, it turns into happiness. Okay, so I'll start us off with some loving kindness practice to prime the pump, so to speak, and then we'll do some mudita practice. Before that, we'll do just a little bit of mindfulness practice just to help create the container. And sometimes it might be the case that doing loving kindness practice brings you right to your difficulties. It's not uncommon. And so I like to introduce mindfulness practice just so everybody knows if it feels like this practice is not the right practice for you to be doing right now, for you to do some mindfulness practice as an alternative if you find yourself in an uncomfortable place. It doesn't feel like it's productive and isn't helpful than to do some mindfulness practice. Okay, so we'll start with a little bit of mindfulness practice. We'll start with bringing our attention just in general to the body, just bringing our awareness to the bodily experience. Just noticing in general how we are, maybe globally how the body is, taking note of the posture. Is there any feeling of too much energy or not enough energy, or maybe the energy is just right? Energy, alertness. And then allowing the attention to rest on the sensations of breathing. Just feeling the movements of the body associated with breathing. And the movements, the stretching, the contracting. Maybe bringing a little bit of curiosity. What is it like to breathe? From a sensation point of view, not so much from thinking, but from feeling. When the mind wanders, as it's apt to do, we just simply begin again. And can we do this beginning again with some warm-heartedness? Perhaps setting the intention to be with the entire out-breath. How about the entire in-breath? It doesn't matter how many times we begin again. This is what the practice is. It's just beginning again. When we kind of wake up in the midst of a thought train. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, I like to start where it's easy. So bringing to mind a being for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, goodwill. This might be someone we know. It might be someone who has touched our life and they may not even know it. It might be a pet. It might be imaginary kitten, puppies, babies. Bringing this lovable being to mind and connecting with them. Letting our hearts soften toward them. Letting our heart open towards them. And then to support the cultivation of loving kindness, can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Reconnecting with the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to extend our loving kindness to a good friend or family member. Somebody we know, somebody that we have warm feelings, loving feelings toward. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Noticing if in the body there's any sense of warmth or openness or spaciousness. And if so, allowing that to be a support. It may be really subtle, it may be just a small portion of your experience. And it may not be there. That's okay too. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Connecting with our good friend. And then bring to mind something that's good that has happened to your friend. Could be something large, like maybe they got a promotion they wanted. Maybe they got accepted to a program they wanted. Maybe somebody in their family has a good diagnosis. Maybe they do. Or it could be something really simple. Maybe they had a great cup of coffee. Maybe you had a meal that was really satisfying. Maybe they went for a walk that was not too hot, not too cold, not too long. Not too short. So maybe you know of something that your good friend has experienced, or you can imagine maybe some more of these simpler ones. We can say this phrase, these phrases, to support the arising of mudita. I'm happy for your happiness. May your happiness grow. I'm happy for your happiness. May your happiness grow. I'm happy for your happiness. May your happiness grow. I'm happy for your happiness. May your happiness grow. Maybe there's somebody else that you know that has good fortune. Bringing them to mind. I'm happy that you're happy. May your happiness grow. Can we allow ourselves to feel pleased, delighted, joyful, happy? Somebody else is having good fortune. We can delight in that, appreciate that. Appreciate it in a simple way. Just think how the world would be if more people were happy. I'm happy you're happy. May your happiness grow. Who else do we know that has good fortune? Can we be happy for them? Happy with them? I'm happy you're happy. May your happiness grow. And then to end this meditation, Feel your feet on the ground, the pressure of the cushion or chair against the body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of being happy with other people's happiness. To Daniel, thank you very much for the little heart plan, right? It feels like that. Sometimes we can get lost in all the difficulties. Of course we can. And sometimes that's, suffering and difficulties is part of life, but happiness is part of life too. And it might be that we have seasons of our life where there's an imbalance of suffering and happiness, but to recognize and appreciate other people's happiness and to allow ourselves to feel happy, as opposed to envy or allowing the inner critic to arise or something like this, this can be a really transformative practice, allowing us to experience happiness so much more than we would otherwise. So I'd like to put you into some breakout groups where you can talk about this idea, mudita, being happy for other people's happiness. And only led us through just being happy for our friends, people that we know. But you can imagine that this practice, just like all the other Brahma Vihara practices, you can radiate it out so that you're happy for even people you don't know. And of course, even people that you have difficult relationships with. But it's always good to start where it's easy. Always good to start where it's easy. And for some of us, we might stay there for months, years. There's no requirement that we have to kind of go into the most difficult corners of our practice. With loving kindness practice, what you'll find is that as you do it, it just naturally progresses to maybe more challenging, quote unquote, individuals. It just has that nature. We don't have to force it. We can. Sometimes it's helpful to do that practice of with more difficult individuals, but there's no requirement. Okay, so when you're in your small groups, it can be helpful to not say everything you know, but just to say at one point and let it go to the next person. Some of you, how many times have you heard me say this? yeah, Diana, okay, get on. But I think it's a good reminder that, this is not the usual conversations that we have. Just to kind of level the playing field between the introverts and the extroverts and to allow everybody to learn from each other. So just to say one point and let it go to the next person, say one point goes to the next person, then comes back around to the first person. And if it's helpful, you can use the last digit of your phone number as and to go in numerical order that way to create the circle. Okay, here we go. So welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Does anybody have a comment or something they'd like to share? A question? I always thought this idea of mudita, sympathetic joy, and happy for other people's happiness. Fred gives a thumbs up, and so does Kathleen. Two thumbs up. I think Kim, I saw you give a thumb up too, right? Yeah. Hugh, who has your hand up? Yes, Hugh.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. I'm an introvert, and I was in a room with two other introverts. and we all turned into chatterboxes. Oh, it was great. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Hugh. Yes, Neil.
So one of the things that came up we were discussing was that out of all the Brahma Viharas, mudita seems like the one that's least embedded in our American culture. Right, right. There's like sympathetic joy is the worst of all the translations, as far as I'm concerned. You know, all right, it doesn't communicate much. I can't come up with a better one. You know, I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that. I see you nodding a lot.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Sometimes I would use appreciative joy, but that this kind of feels uninspiring, I would say, these words. So mudita, maybe mudita itself may be a little bit better than just sympathetic joy. Or I was trying to emphasize like happy and happiness and other people's happiness, but I agree with you 100%, Neil. And maybe one thing that I'll say about that we don't talk about that much, or it's not in the American vernacular, is I was thinking about this, that somehow we tend to value productivity or something like this, right? More than joy. So this hasn't really been adopted or endorsed or something like this. Yeah. So doesn't mean we can't practice it. So, but thank you, Neil. I agree. I don't have a good translation. I wish there were a good one.
Thanks.
John Peacock uses the two words gentle joy.
Gentle joy. Thank you.
I've heard borrowing joy.
Oh, yeah. Borrowing joy. I've even used like borrowing wisdom, but borrowing joy. Nice. Thank you.
It's a Southern expression, borrowing trouble, which I love.
We don't need this. we don't need to borrow.
A lot of people do that.
Absolutely.
But I just wanted to add a little pin real quickly that I hope very much you will continue to teach us in this area. For me, at least, this is very selfish, but I need a lot of help. So
yeah,
I would like to do more of this.
So I was thinking the same. Yeah, I was thinking the same. Like, oh, I should do more of this. So I think I will.
Good.
Great. Okay. It's 2 minutes after the hour, but thank you all. We can unmute and say goodbye. So thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Catherine.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
All the best. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Diana.
You're welcome.